The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Before we get started, I wanted to let you know some really exciting news. My new book, The 1-3-1 Method, which I've been working on for 3 years, is now available for pre-order. You can find it at Barnes & Noble and also Amazon.com. And of course, you can go into your local mom and pop bookstore and ask them to order it for you. When you do place your pre-order for the book, I want to reward you and help you get started immediately with your mindset. All you do is go to 131book, write that down, 131book.com. You'll enter your email address and your order number, and immediately, like that minute, I will send you this free mindset coaching program that I've created as a bonus, as my thank you to you for pre-ordering the book, for supporting me, for being with me along this very, very important, very personal journey. I am so committed to helping you get healthy from the inside out, improving your gut health, and creating a customized approach that works without the fads, without the gimmicks, something that you can do for the rest of your life and change the legacy of health in your family. But you know what? It starts with mindset. So please take advantage of this free bonus. It's a $97 value, and it's yours by going to 131book.com for more details. All right, enjoy the show, but don't forget, 131book.com. Well, hello there. Welcome to the Chalene Show. I'm your host, Chalene Johnson, and I'm not English. And I was told, I don't know if this is true. If it is, I'm going to apologize in advance, but one of my friends said, Chalene, do you know it's very offensive if you use or imitate someone's accent? I'm like, are you serious? It is? Oh, man. I'm always messing up. I'm always offending somebody. I feel like everything's offensive to everyone, and I keep blowing it. So I'd like to apologize in advance for any time today that I might offend you or any time in the past that I may have offended you unintentionally. I am trying to be woke, as they say. I'm just happy I'm not a comedian because, man, comedians have it tough. So if you're English and you're offended in the beginning by my horrible English accent, I do apologize. My name's Chalene Johnson. And I'd like to welcome you to The Chalene Show, where today we're going to, well, I'm going to talk, you're going to listen, but I'm going to share with you 7 tips to help you stop eating and drinking so much at night, if that's a problem for you. If it's not, you get to sit out this one, but that doesn't mean you're off the hook. I mean, this is an opportunity, time you've set aside for personal development, so here's what I want you to do. If you don't struggle with nighttime eating, God bless you, we still like you. All you have to do is go to your podcast app, whatever app you're listening on, and anything at all that you're kind of struggling with, or you want to improve, or that you find interesting, I want you to search that term and my name, Chalene, and I'll just bet I've either interviewed an expert or I've done some research for you, and you can go back and listen to an older episode. But for the rest of you, for those of us who do like to overindulge sometimes after the sun sets, this episode is for you.
Welcome to The Chalene Show. Chalene is a New York Times bestselling author, celebrity fitness trainer, and obsessed with helping you live your dream life.
All right, let's do this. Now, these 7 tips are for you if this is something you struggle with. And I know you've heard the like, oh, just take a bubble bath or, you know, maybe paint your nails at night. Enjoy a nice walk. Those are great suggestions. But we also know they are replacements, right? They're things that you can do that are almost like a band-aid or a temporary fix. But I'm gonna share with you 7 tips that I think you're gonna find pretty helpful, and hopefully you can create some new habits. But before I do that, I want to mention that what I'm talking about, who I'm talking to, is the person who's pretty normal. Like, you're like most people. Some nights you don't stuff your face, and other nights you go to bed and you're like, why did I eat all that food? I wasn't even hungry. God, I feel horrible. But I'm not talking about binge eating. That's something very different, or disordered eating. And if you suspect that you do, in fact, struggle with disordered eating, binge eating, or problematic nighttime feeding, I want you to consult with a professional. Now, if you're not sure, in the show notes below this episode, I'll place a link where you can go and find some free resources and do some questionnaires to figure out if, in fact, perhaps you are struggling with an eating disorder. But generally speaking, if you think you are, you probably are, or you might be headed in that direction. And there's nothing to be ashamed of. It's no different from any other disorder. And I think probably all of us have some kind of disorder, right? If not diagnosed, we suspect it. And there's help. There are people who can help you with this. There's no shame in that. Of course, one of my best friends, Dr. Michaela, is one of the renowned experts when it comes to emotional eating. So you could always go to her website, drmichaela.com. I think she does Skype consultations as well. She treats here in Southern California, but I believe she does some online stuff as well. So check her out. But quite seriously, if you do believe you are suffering from an eating disorder, I do want you to seek the help of a medical professional. So let's get to the root cause for most of us. The root cause for most of us, if it's not hunger, it's emotional eating. And I think everybody, including children, are conditioned to soothe their feelings with food. You know, you hear a baby cry, what do? You think, oh, grab a bottle. Where's mom? We've got to make sure the baby can nurse. You know, that starts from the moment an infant is born. And then we carry it on. And especially in our society, like everything is about food. We reward kids with food. We reward ourselves with food. We celebrate birthday parties, holidays, the birth of a child, the death of a parent. Like nearly every celebration revolves around food. So some of the root causes of why we eat at night is, number one, just to soothe ourselves. It's the end of the day, so we feel tired, we feel exhausted, we feel emotionally drained, we might feel burnt out, we might feel sorry for ourselves, we might feel happy, we might just feel grateful that the day is over, we might feel relieved, we might feel bored, but we're feeling something, and we've just been conditioned to believe that if we're feeling something, we should eat something. And again, just as a reminder, these root causes that I'm referring to right now are the root causes for the average person, not for someone who's suffering from a very debilitating eating disorder. Another common root cause for the average person who struggles with occasional emotional eating, frankly, is habit. And habit is so freaking powerful. Don't underestimate the power that habit has over you without you even thinking. You don't even think about many of the things you do every single day because they've become habitual. When you understand how habits work, then you can start to untether yourself from bad habits and attach good habits to already existing habits. The majority of my tips today are specifically designed to help you identify better habits that you can develop, which will diminish the habits right now that are causing you to eat without even thinking about it. But before I get into that, I also want to talk about the physiological reasons why sometimes you're eating at night. Many people will do this because they're almost like saving up their calories or saving up their nutrition for the evening, thinking like, well, okay, I'm going to be busy all day and I'm going to go. So it's easy for me not to think about food, but I'm starving and I'm hungry and I've kind of white knuckled it all day. And I'm not talking about just intermittent fasting. I'm talking about a form of intermittent fasting, if you will, but not someone who's doing intermittent fasting and trying to be aware of how to control their hunger hormones. Because if you're doing intermittent fasting, y'all, and you're not aware of how macronutrients affect your hunger hormones. And I'm not talking about going keto. I'm not talking about going paleo. I'm not talking about any diet. I'm just saying facts, y'all. Forget about diets. Let's talk about sustainability. Let's talk about understanding your nutrition, your body, becoming an expert at your metabolism. Like, that's what I'm so passionate about. The 1-3-1 method, by the way, if you haven't picked up the book, you should, or join the program, join the online community if you want to start now. Not trying to do a plug. I mean, I'm just very, very passionate about the idea that you can't just follow rules and screw up your metabolism. You can't just listen to what the personal trainer at the gym is telling you to eat, or some YouTuber has sold you a meal plan, which she claims is customized, and you bought it because she's got a great butt and a great body. So you're like, well, I need her meal plan. None of that makes any sense for your metabolism. But once you understand how your metabolism works and specifically how you need to eat based on your exercise, based on your age, based on your metabolism, based on a lot of different factors, once you know how you need to eat in order to really have control and optimize your hormones, well, then you won't be ravenous at the end of the day. You won't have to fight off hunger because it will be in check. You will have corrected it. One very simple way for you to know if you're consuming too many carbohydrates and not enough healthy fats, and maybe even too much protein, is if you're just really hungry all the time. If you're hungry and you've eaten just a few hours ago, your hormones are telling you that you're low on food, even though you've got plenty to live. You know, you're not at risk of starvation, yet you feel very, very hungry. Oh, and P.S., if your kids are doing the same thing, your kids are like, "Mom, I'm hungry," and they just ate, it's probably because their hunger hormones, their hunger meter is also broken. And it's very common because we are flooded. We are inundated with products that we assume are healthy for our kids, but they're just loaded with sugar. You know, just because it says it's healthy, just because it's something that was maybe once healthy, take a look at the sugar. Make this super simple. Track sugar for a little while. Try to reduce that for your kids. Try to get them to eat whole, unprocessed foods that are low in sugar, and watch how it corrects the hunger meter. There's a very high likelihood that what's going on is what you're eating during the day is higher in carbohydrates than you realize, and perhaps higher in protein than what your body needs. Because what does your body do with extra? It stores it. It stores it in the liver. It stores it in our body fat. If we're getting more than what we really need, even if you're like, "Well, the more protein I eat, the more muscle I'm going to have," not necessarily true, y'all. So you have to understand how that works if, in fact, you're really hungry at night. Okay, so let's just say you figured that out. You're like, "Okay, now I know what it is. I'm going to adjust my macros accordingly." Or, you know what? I don't know what it is, and that's why I do need to learn the 1-3-1 method. But let's just say you've solved that. And now what we're really dealing with isn't physiological hunger, but psychological hunger. Psychological hunger, sometimes referred to as emotional eating. It's when we are cued or triggered, or when our appetite kicks in for just about any reason other than the fact we're hungry. So let's dig into some of those habits. Number one, and this one's really easy and it's really beneficial to you for so many freaking reasons, go to bed. Go to bed earlier. Make it your goal to go to bed earlier and go to bed with a body that's been respected. Because you and I both know, and listen, there ain't no judgment from this side of the microphone, because this girl has herself like gone to bed and thought, "What am I doing? My stomach is so full. I'm just like, I'm uncomfortable to sleep." And anytime that happens, I have a hard time falling asleep. Number one, because I can't stop thinking about the fact, like, why did I eat all that? I'm not even hungry. Why did I drink that? Why did I indulge? Why did I keep going? You know, so not only are you uncomfortable physically, but you're uncomfortable mentally. So go to bed earlier and remember that you need to show respect for your body. You know, be respectable. Treat yourself well in the hours before you go to bed. Number two, have something neutral. And what I mean by neutral is, it's natural and it's also very habitual for us to want to hold something, to want to drink something, to want to have something warm, to have something cold. And you can do those things, but if you're not hungry, you don't need the extra energy. You don't need the extra sugar. You don't need the extra fat, the extra carbs, the extra protein. You don't need anything extra. So have something that's neutral, preferably something that's low in sugar and calorie free, right? In fact, preferably something that's like water. That would be ideal, right? You're putting something in your body that you really don't need physically. You need it emotionally. So make wise choices. Instead of doing, you know, a cocktail, do a sugar-free wine. If you've got to do a cocktail, do something that's very low in sugar. Like I did a whole episode about low sugar alcoholic beverages. Not that I'm encouraging you to drink, right? Because again, are you doing that for an emotional crutch? But if you do want to enjoy or unwind with a glass of wine, consider drinking an organic sugar-free wine. It's got zero carbs. That's the key, is you want to keep your carbohydrate and your sugar intake very, very low. If you're going to have anything, keep that very low. Why? Because if you don't, it makes you crave more, even if you're having something healthy. And by the way, if you go to dryfarmwines.com/Chalene, if you use that link, you'll actually get a free bottle of wine. You get an extra bottle in your order. Pretty cool. Okay. Again, carbs aren't bad. Carbs are great. Carbs are good. We need them. But how much of them do we need? And how is it affecting your hunger hormones? Other ideas are to do a hot tea, my lemon ginger cayenne water, which I love at night. By the way, if you're going to do a tea, definitely do a decaffeinated one because I don't want you up all night. Maybe do a cup of bone broth with a squeeze of lime. That's my favorite one, especially when I'm fasting. Ooh, I love me some bone broth. But again, it does have protein in it and some fat. So keep that in mind. And you could even do a low sugar hot cocoa. In fact, my friend Danette May has a wonderful recipe. I will link to that in my show notes as well. Her cacao is like on another level in terms of taste as well as the quality and the sourcing of her ingredients. Number three, change the habit which makes eating too easy, such as sitting on the couch and watching TV. Instead, you know, you can still sit on the couch and watch TV, like if that's your evening routine, but do something with your hands, like maybe use that time to fold laundry. Or here's what I've been doing. This has really helped me a lot because for me, that's when I like to eat. I like to eat at night. I've had a busy, stressful day. I practice intermittent fasting, but I do so, I phase it. So I'm not doing it all the time. But when I do practice intermittent fasting, then I notice that I have a habit of wanting to eat later in the evening, even when I'm not intermittent fasting. I just prefer to eat at night. So for me, what I've started doing is using my time at night while the TV's on, because it's in our kitchen area. I can see it from the kitchen anyways. That's when I will prepare for the next day. So it is about the last hour of the evening when I don't need to snack and I have things that I can do to prepare myself for the next day. That's when I'll fill up my 3 water bottles. That's when I'll take my supplements. That's when I will write out my to-do list in my push journal. That's when I'll get the coffee ready for the next morning. I'll pull up my cup. I'll fill up the coffee maker. Like I'll do everything I need to do. I'll even pull everything that I need when I'm leaving in the morning to go work out. I'll pull it all into the kitchen area. So I'm busy. In essence, what I've done is attached a healthier habit to a pre-existing habit, the habit of being in the kitchen and listening to or watching a documentary with Brett. I'm still doing it. That's still a habit. But now I've attached something healthier to it other than just sitting on the couch and eating food. That's what I do. But what could you do at night? You know, you're sitting there on the couch. What do you need to do that you could attach that habit to an already existing habit or wherever it is that you're eating? Maybe it's not on the couch. Maybe what you do is you go in your office and you work. And in order to kind of keep yourself company, what you do is you bring in a bag of processed junk or whatever it is. Wherever you are, whatever your habit is, figure out what other habit could you replace the not so healthy one with something that's either neutral or healthier. Number four, change the environment. Proximity to food, proximity to the temptation forces you to use discipline. If the junk isn't in your house, well, then you don't need any discipline. But let's say it's not junk. Maybe you've got almost all healthy food in your pantry. God bless you. Aren't you just Miss Fancy Pants? Well, let's just assume that's what you've got going on. You can still eat calories and consume food that you don't need because you're not hungry. So what can we do about your environment? Where are you hanging out in the evenings that is making it too easy for you to be tempted? For example, when I do a fast, just to eliminate the temptation, just so I don't have to smell it, see it, eat it, or resist it, I make sure that I'm not in the proximity of it. And I often will ask for Brett's assistance. And when I'm fasting, assuming that he's not, usually we're fasting at the same time, but let's just say it's just me fasting, well, then I'll ask him, hey, do you mind if this week or for the next 3 days we watch TV upstairs in our bedroom? And he's always like, yeah. I'm like, no, sir. Simmer down, mister. It's not what I'm talking about. What I'm asking is, do you mind if we go into the bedroom to watch TV and then I'll just, again, I'll get ready for the next day, but I'll do so upstairs in our bedroom versus doing it in the kitchen, or I'll do something else in our bedroom that's productive. I like to be productive. If I'm just sitting there, I feel bored. I want to fill that boredom with something, but I've also learned I can fill it with things other than food. And I know at the beginning of this episode, I kind of made light of the suggestion that sometimes people will make, like, oh, you know, if you're struggling with nighttime eating, just take a bath. But maybe that will work, because part of the reason, one of the number one reasons why, at least I hear from my students, why they struggle with nighttime eating is they're trying to relax. They're just trying to soothe themselves. They're trying to, like Calgon, take me away kind of thing. And unfortunately, I think that often means they turn to alcohol. And as I've mentioned before, if you're drinking alcohol, especially wines and other cocktails that are higher in alcohol content, that's a toxin. It's a toxin. You know, and especially if it's one that's not imported, it's made here in the US, then you're taking in toxins, probably other ingredients you're not aware of. So how can you relax? Well, my number five tip for you is, instead of using alcohol or sugary treats or whatever food it is you've been using to relax yourself, try doing something relaxing. So this is something Brett started doing, you know, and I'm sure he's okay with me sharing this with you. I'd say for, I don't know, a long time, several nights a week, he would have a Jack Daniels. I can't remember the last time he's had one now, because he replaced that habit with using this vibrating foam roller. It's amazing. It's kind of pricey, but it's unbelievable. Like, it is so good. And I think that's kind of replaced the Jack Daniels. You know, again, do you really need alcohol when what it is you're trying to do is to relax? My friend Natalie Jill, she goes to bed really early, but before she goes to bed, she has this insane looking massage chair. It looks like a rocket ship, but she loves going in this massage chair. I think she and her husband Brooks both have like matching ones or whatever, his and hers. They just love those chairs. They help them to fall asleep. Brett and I recently on a Sunday night went to a yin yoga class, which is, it's very much relaxation. There was like candlelight and they were very slow. I mean, if you could even call them stretches, like it's almost like you were being guided through some very simple, relaxing, almost laying there kind of stretches. And we both left and I was like, I am ready to go to sleep, aren't you? And he's like, I can't believe how relaxed I am. So you could do that on your own. You could also try some meditation. You could take a hot bubble bath, like do something to physically relax you. In addition to that, you might want to consider the benefits of CBD oil. High quality CBD oil, lots of great studies showing promising results for the reduction of inflammation, depression, insomnia, etc. And if you're in Southern California and a few other states, THC or marijuana is legal. Again, I'm not recommending these things, but there are medicinal benefits, and I'm just here to report the facts. But while we're talking about consuming things, magnesium. After doing considerable research for the 131 and having the opportunity to talk to incredible doctors who just study sleep, one of those experts, Dr. Bruce, who's considered the sleep doctor, recommended that most people have a difficult time falling asleep because they are deficient in magnesium. And sure enough, I tested and I was. So Brett and I both now do a magnesium supplement before we go to bed. I always hesitate to share supplements with you because I don't know if it's in your best interest. I don't know if you're deficient in it. And I certainly wouldn't want to recommend that you take something that you're not deficient in. Why do that, right? But if you are in fact deficient, make sure that you use a quality supplement. You can check on the quality of the ingredients in your supplements by going to labdoor.com. Unless, of course, you're getting your supplements from an integrative medical professional. I use Zymogen. The magnesium that we take is a powder form that we just mix up in a little glass of water before we go to bed. And it's called Optimag. Optimag Neuro. Number six is to keep your hands busy. Yep. One of the reasons why, again, we eat is because we're bored and we're not doing anything with our hands. Well, if your hands are busy, it's difficult to be eating at the same time. So do something that makes it more difficult for you to get to the food, right? So maybe it's a craft or a hobby. Maybe it's learning how to use your sewing machine or doing some planning with your push journal. Maybe it's putting together a strategy for your social media or some online shopping. I mean, a little Amazon never hurt. It's for the family. And finally, number seven. Number seven is to set an alarm on your phone. And when that alarm goes off, you should ask yourself, am I hungry? I mean, if you're truly hungry, if you haven't had enough nutrients today, go ahead and eat. But if you're not hungry, just make note of what time it is. Like for so many people, they just, once the sun sets, they kind of lose track of what time it is until they look at the clock and go, wow, we should go to bed. And they don't realize that there's a certain point at which you probably should have stopped eating. So set an alarm on your phone that goes off every day until you get in this habit, until you start to recognize and feel what time of day it is. And when that alarm goes off, if you are hungry, well, by all means, go ahead and eat. But if you're not, use that as a signal that the kitchen's closed and begin to prepare for the most important thing you can do for your health each day, and that is sleep. Okay, well, it's one of the most important things. I mean, you can live without food. You cannot live without sleep. You know what else you cannot live without? Well, okay, you can, but you cannot live a crazy, ridiculous, amazing, fun-filled life unless you have a plan. And I think this would really help too, and that's a push journal. I think if you got in the habit every night of spending time in your push journal, in fact, I'm positive that your eating and drinking at night would be curbed and your day the next day would be that much more productive, if for no other reason. And again, of course, I love the push journal and I love seeing that you guys use the push journal. I've designed it for people like you, but just have a plan. If you're not going to use a push journal, use something every night. Like that's the bonus tip for you. That's like number eight. Number eight is to use a journal every night. Use that time at night to take your life to where you want it to be. To live that crazy, ridiculous, amazing, fun-filled life, you need a plan. You can get yours by going to pushjournal.com. We have an Instagram account too now. You can check it out, see different ways that people use it. Of course, it is on Instagram. It's just at pushjournal. Check it out. Thank you so much for spending time with me. You know I love you. I freaking adore you. I love getting messages from you. I love meeting you. I met a gal today at the gym. She's like, Chalene? I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh my gosh, I recognized your voice. I'm like, that's funny. You didn't recognize me? What? Because I look so young over here? No, she was very sweet. If you do see me, please take a moment to say hello and always lead with the fact that you're a podcast listener, because that entitles you to a hug and a high five and a photo. Because you know I'm very partial to my podcast family. So that's it. That's it for now. I love you. I mean it. And I very much look forward to spending some time with you again on Friday.